Question is whether or not you want to turn attempting to elude into a Class C felony. The section question really has to do with Senate Bill 95, and I don't think you have copies of it, but I don't think you need copies of it. Both Senate Bill 95 and House Bill 2653 have to do with ORS 811-540, the attempt to elude statute. 2653 turns it into a felony. Senate Bill 95 adds to the present statute the language that a person attempts to elude in a vehicle. Now, there's some technical language there, but the gravamen of this is that attempt to elude would also include the person gets out of the vehicle and on foot knowingly flees or attempts to elude the police officer. In other words, adds to the crime not just the eluding in the car, but the getting out of the car and running. Now, if you want to look at the technical, at Senate Bill 95 specific, I'll let you look at it, but I think that you can understand that that's what Senate Bill 95 does. Representative Mannix.
We're amending the Motor Vehicle Code.
Motor Vehicle Code.
And I wonder whether or not there are some provisions in the regular criminal code that have to do with running away from a police officer. No?
Well, there's absolutely nothing. In fact, the resist arrest statutes that exist currently don't address that. That's in another bill.
Those up too.
Another bill on a resisting arrest, but you know, we're not going to go to the well in that one. Now, starting around the table with Representative, I'll start with Representative Clark as a de facto member of the committee. What's your feeling on the two questions presented, the felony, not a felony, and the get out of the car as part of the elude? Representative Clark.
Why don't you start the other way around?
Okay, I know where he is on all of this.
That.
Representative Minnis.
Well, I strongly support.
Strongly supports both of them.
Yes.
You would like the bill to include getting out of the car as part of elude, and you'd also like to make the whole thing a felony, correct?
And let me, I guess, if you got a copy of my memo that I sent to the committee, one of the things in looking at the escalation to see felony status is the fact that ORS 161705 allows a judge to lower that charge to an A misdemeanor if they choose to, so there's some discretion on the part of the court. And the justification behind the bill in the first place is the fact that so many serious incidents occur, resulting in a lot of not only fatal injuries to people, but physical injury to people plus property damage. And it's also a major reason why law enforcement agencies are incurring liability claims that are very, very high. And as a result of that, many police departments, including the Portland Police Bureau, have increased the responsibility that the police officer has in engaging themselves in pursuit situations and actually requiring them to back off in certain circumstances and so on and so forth. And I think that in escalating it to Class C felony, we're simply escalating the conduct of the crime to the appropriate category, and it's consistent with the state of Arizona and the state of Washington in terms of those categories.
Representative Brian, where are you in this?
Chairman, I like fleeing on foot being an A misdemeanor.
Okay.
Attempting to elude C felony.
So you have kind of found kind of a middle ground here, third combination.
I think because of the extra menace
that's
of the.
That's the Brian speed approach. Mm-hmm. Okay. Representative Baum.
I'll take either the menace or the Brian approach.
I don't have the foggiest, Representative Baum. You want to amend that in here?
No, I just brought it up for discussion. I don't want to cause any problems.
Representative Baum is kind of like our sorcerer's apprentice. Somebody taught him the magic words. And it's just you can do it if you want.
I don't want to amend anything.
That little thing loose in the room there. Okay. Representative Bauman, you have a yes, you have a C felony, foot, or the Brian?
No.
You're no on all. Okay.
Let me ask Representative Minnis if he's more likely to risk life and limb to chase after some rapscallion who he knows has the chance of being convicted of a Class C felony and standing in line to go to a prison bed, rather than risking life and limb to chase after some rapscallion who will only have a Class A misdemeanor and will stand in line for some bed in the county jail. That's sort of question one. Question number two, it just refers to standing in line at the money department. I'm looking at the judicial department's fiscal analysis for indigent defense, $226,780. For expenses of judicial department other than indigent defense, $1,641,728.
Oh, okay.
Let me,
are you a no on the foot? No,
no
on foot?
No on foot, no on Class C. And what's the third no?
Well, the Brian approach is if you're on foot, it's a misdemeanor. If you're in a car, it's a felony.
Right. What is it if you're on foot now?
Nothing.
It doesn't exist.
Nothing?
So you'd be a yes
on foot for a misdemeanor? Go ahead for yes on foot for a misdemeanor. That's not appropriate behavior.
Okay. Representative Mannix, Representative Courtney, where are you?
I support the Menace approach, House Bill 2653, because I don't want him to file a minority report, and House Bill 2571. Brian's got a good mix in there, too, and the civil stop by Baum. Is he wanted in there, or is he just asking us about it? I don't know what he went and did.
He's just teasing us.
He went off the radar.
He's just teasing us.
Brian seems to have made an interesting move. As a former cop, you know, he probably knows about this foot stuff. So I'm taken with that foot stuff.
I can see Representative Brian probably was in love with foot
cases. We should actually make the felonies. I never could catch them.
I sort of like his... There's some wisdom there, so I'm sort of... Bobbing and weaving on that.
The imagery there gets me. Representative Coloria.
I guess I would, in priority, I would go with Brian's approach on this one first, and then Minnis second. But I could vote for either one.
Representative Mannix.
I think we need to remember that the courts have made it exceedingly difficult. And society has made it exceedingly difficult for police to take action to apprehend people that are fleeing. Officers are severely circumscribed in the kind of force that they can use to stop someone, the kind of force they can use, for instance, deadly force, to stop someone who is fleeing from them. We put in all of these little traps to prevent the police officer from being able to take strong action. We may have had good reason for doing that. We should balance the equation by saying if somebody does flee on foot or by vehicle, regardless of their reasons, the Class C felon. The minister's approach ought to be adopted. And yes, I will vote for every measure that appropriates every penny necessary from beginning to end in the judicial, police, and correction system to catch them, try them, defend them, and incarcerate. And also be in control when we're finished.
Representative Mannix, I'm
getting excited.
I was just trying to get your, you know. So you're a yes on minutes.
Yes, all the way.
You're a yes all the way. Okay. Now, Representative Clark, wasn't there a quote about the race is not always to the swift or the battle to the strong or something like that?
What's that got to do with Clark?
Want to comment on this?
No, wait a second. Representative Bryan's approach makes a lot of sense.
Representative Bryan's approach. Actually, I think we ought to have a foot race and line up there. But I'm just going
to
have counsel run my position.
But I was reminding the chair that I'm not a voting member of the
subcommittee. I know that.
Committee, okay.
As Representative Minnis isn't either.
Just so as you know, last session there were two bills introduced on the same subject. One was exactly the issue that Representative Bryan brought up. That was introduced by the City of Portland. And I concur with that. I think it's a good approach.
You concur with the Bryan approach?
Yes, I think that's fine. My original bill just dealt with the attempt to elude by vehicles.
Okay. Are we in work session?
Yeah,
Mr.
we're
Chair?
In work session.
I'd like to move the amendment that ask the chair if he could invite Mr. Linden to propose.
What amendments are these, please?
Excuse me, Representative Bauman, I believe Mr. Linden was not going to submit these.
Okay. But that doesn't mean she can't.
She can do it herself.
I'd like to move the amendments.
Okay. Well, how come he went and did that? Representative Bauman, can you tell me?
Calm down.
I'm very sorry. I got carried away, Mr. Chair.
Calm down. Representative Bauman moves the amendments, which are in a document entitled proposed by the Judicial Department 4689, not really proposed by the Judicial Department. They're now her amendments. Now, Representative Bauman, to your motion, and then we will drill Mr. Linden. Representative Bauman.
Is this
I appreciate Representative Mannix's point of view. I also appreciate the fact that we are, I suppose by default, spending the state's budget here. And my understanding about this process is when you spend state money, that becomes part of another policy-making process called ways and means. And I would think just out of, and I will submit this amendment to Mr. Linden's scrutiny and ask him if he would comment on the figures. But I really think that it's appropriate since we have other priorities, including law enforcement priorities.
I want to acknowledge one of the better legislators I have ever run into, former Representative Bob Brigiotti, who Representative Baum, I would appreciate if you would go school with him and pick up some of his habits. The man you could do business with, Representative Baum.
I educated
him. Nice question.
Representative Courtney.
Point of information. We can't adopt these amendments, can we?
What?
Well, this isn't a ways and means type of deal?
I think the bill is
there's
definitely
nothing that says that only ways and means can appropriate money.
There's nothing that says that only ways and means can appropriate money?
Right.
Well, in that case, I have an amendment.
Now, I'm really sincere about this. That is news to me.
The Revenue Committee did it already this year.
For other committees can appropriate money.
Well. Well now.
I didn't know that.
Representative Courtney, I would accept if you want to make friendly amendment or if you want to request a motion to refer this bill to Ways and Means, I would
we need to amend the bill, then he can refer it to Ways and Means.
I just I've never entertained or been on this Judiciary Committee when we had this kind of motion before. Or in the housing, or in ag and natural resources, and that's why I always thought that this kind of language, Representative Baumann, was ways and means language. That's what they were all about. That's all I'm asking. I'm not trying to play games.
In the old days, Representative Courtney, substantive committees, as a matter of form, used to be allowed a certain amount of discretion. In fact, I think it was like under $20,000 or $50,000, and it was not in the least bit unusual for them to do that. But when we hit lean times, that discretion was changed, but we need to address her amendment first. Now, Representative Clark, did you have a?
I have. No, I just didn't realize that we could appropriate money either, and I have some priorities of my own, and be introducing an amendment next week to fund the budget, the state's budget, according to the priorities that I would like to see pursued. A very simple matter, actually.
Representative Baum.
If we were going to be doing this, we should have started 100 bills ago.
I agree.
And the figures here are, and I know Mr. Linden will have a justification for it, but when we start getting down to $28, all I know is if you call the shot that close, then you might as well put the figure out there and spin a lottery wheel in the general vicinity and come up with a this is accurate figure. I think we simply need to deal with the policy, and I don't want to tag this bill with an automatic referral to Ways and Means. Let it go to the House floor. If the Senate wants to do it, it will go there.
Money for corrections?
That's right. Just remember, some of us like to see that money spent up front in the budget process rather than at the end of the budget process.
Anything further on Representative Bauman's motion? Representative, Mr. Linden, you want to make a very, very, very short comment on this before we get this thing out of the way.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, Bill Linden, there's a little bit of background I need to give you on this. A request has been made to the legislative leadership to begin referring to Ways and Means bills that create additional costs for the defense system and the whole criminal justice system. There's been no action on that request. The Ways and Means Public Safety Subcommittee, which has the Judicial Department budget, corrections, Indigent Defense, approved a letter that they're sending to the leadership this sometime today, renewing that request on their behalf that these bills start going to Ways and Means for some scrutiny. At the same time, it was not a direction, but it was a strong suggestion was made that we ought to consider amendments to bills that we think have a fiscal impact that would add an appropriated amount that would result in the bills going to Ways and Means. Today was the first day in which I had an opportunity to look at that suggestion and act on it. This bill happened to be the first one in which I had amendments prepared after preparing them, because I think this bill does address some real public policy issues. I choose to withdraw them. We're going to give it another week to see if the leadership does start referring the bills to Ways and Means. So on the question of the fiscal impact, I can tell you how we got so precise. We know what it costs us to prosecute or to defend a Class A misdemeanor, and we know what it costs us to defend a Class C felony, and we know how many cases we're talking about here. So we took the number of cases, that is 1,972 times the $115 difference between the misdemeanor and the felony cost, and that's where we come up with the $266,780. We also know what it costs us to process a felony case in our circuit courts on the average. That's $693 per felony case. And misdemeanors cost us approximately $110 per case. That's a difference of $583. We took that $583 times the 2,816 cases, and that's where we came up with the $1,641,728. Now, if in fact some of these cases were prosecuted as misdemeanors instead of felonies, that number would be reduced. But the way we develop our fiscal impact statements is if it says it's a C felony or if it says it's an A felony, those are the bases on which we develop the fiscal impact information. Anyway, that's how we arrived at those figures.
Representative Minnis.
Bill, isn't there one other, at least potential fallacy in these calculations in the sense that oftentimes when you have someone that's been charged with a particular crime, they're also charged with one or two other crimes. And if you're counting each individual crime as a separate category and making your computations based on each charge, you actually have there's a condensation of those charges if you can calculate any how many are charged in a multiple offense category, and that's not calculated in these figures.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Minnis, that isn't. And the reason we don't calculate in the possibility of this being one of several charges is we just have no way of knowing how many that would knock out. So we are taking it at face value. We're saying it was an A misdemeanor, it's now a C felony, here's what we think the difference would be. The qualifications of the one you just mentioned, plus the maybe some will be prosecuted as misdemeanors, are legitimate things to raise. These are just our best guesses.
Discussion of the amendment. If not,
I'm reluctant to start picking on individual members' bills now in this way. I mean, I think Representative Bauman has stated the case very well as to the implications financially of this bill. But I got to tell the committee, I feel the committee as a whole has been very good to the family justice when we were talking about some additional crimes, and I guess all of those should have been gone the same route that this one may go if this is, I'm sure they have those implications. I mean, my committee, Family Justice, created a lot of new crimes. I'm not going to deny that, folks. And we didn't use this approach, and we didn't Ways and Means them, and perhaps we should or shouldn't. I don't know. I think we ought to either vote the bill down and it's the way it is now if we just don't want to do this, or vote it up, but not this approach. It's only because I feel uncomfortable in view of the way the committee as a whole has handled family justice. And, folks, we have poured out a lot of new crimes. Now, I'm not going to deny that.
Representative Courtney, it's you're going
to. Well,
halftime talk.
Well, no, it's not halftime. I just can't. I feel bad. But I don't. I like about have not been able to support President Bowman's motion because I think it's accurate. It's just I want to explain why to her. Is anything wrong with that?
No, that's fine.
Well, thank you.
I just want to move on. Representative
Matt. For the same reason, only for the sake of consistency as to other votes so far, I won't vote for that particular vote, but I spiritually support Representative Bauman.
Wow. That and 50 cents, and I'll take you out for a cup of coffee, Representative Mannix.
Close on the motion.
Mr. Chair, if I could, thank you. Let me just suggest to the committee, to the subcommittee, I appreciate your moral support, and my object in making this request, and I have joined in the request to the leadership, that they submit, including your bills from Family Justice, and
our
bills from Family Justice, many of which I voted to send forth out of judiciary, admittedly. I have joined in that request that they be analyzed. We have a limited pot of money to spend. Some of you are on human resources. Some of you work with me on housing. Some of you, you know, work on other substantive committees that are making funding requests, all of which go down to Ways and Means. And all of us have been subjected to complaints from our constituents that the criminal justice system isn't funded to function under the weight of the criminal structure that we have now. If they think it's not funded appropriately or adequately now, wait until a year from now when we start getting in the numbers like this. Now, rather than coming back here in 2 years and saying, geez, excuse us, we didn't know. Those didn't go to Ways and Means. We were setting policy. I think that we ought to grasp this thistle firmly and say, yes, this is what it costs, and it's worth it. Because this means that Representative Minnis, when he's wearing his police outfit, is more likely to go 120 miles an hour in his police car and take all those risks that are involved in an elude. And they're not, it's not that we make it difficult because we think eluding is okay. And it's not that we make it difficult out of some kind of perversion that we don't want to talk about because we don't really stand behind the laws that we've created and already exist. And yes, there are some other considerations, like, you know, mothers crossing the road with perambulators or I don't know what other, you know, those considerations. I just don't think, I think we ought to look at the price tag and then look at what we're buying with it and make a decision, just like any one of your constituents would make at the supermarket. And you don't make them buy all their stuff and say, don't worry about it, gobble it up, we'll send you the bill in 2 years. And you don't really need to know, and you don't want to know, and don't worry about it because it's food, and you wanted food, and we're giving you food. So, I mean, I really do have a problem. It's not just with this bill, and I don't think that we should be hogtied by the fact that we have sent these bills out up to now. The fact that we've sent them out up to now doesn't mean if that's a mistake. And it's your decision. If that's a mistake, that certainly doesn't mean that we can't acknowledge that there might be something inappropriate for us as a policy committee to keep sending those down and saying that's not our problem, that's Ways and Means problem. Or that's not Ways and Means problem this time, that's Ways and Means problem in the next biennium. Of course, we're all going to be reelected because of our position on all these bills. So we'll be here to deal with the problem when it's in Ways and Means. And I suppose there is some justice in that.
Clerk, call roll.
Representative Bowman.
No. Aye. My amendment. Thank you. Yes, yes. Thank you, Representative Bowman.
Brian.
Can be a
no.
Few of those.
Gloria.
No.
Hardy.
No.
Manning.
You convinced me, yes.
No.
Aye. Amendment fails. I think we are down on the, we are over to the most attractive form here is, if I can articulate it, is the Bryan approach, which is a felony on the, in the car and a
misdemeanor on foot.
Misdemeanor on foot. Are we all clear on that approach? That's what I would like to. Yeah, I would like to vote on that. I think that's the best way to move things along.
That'd be good. Move it. I move it conceptually, unless Representative Bryan or somebody.
By my Representative Courtney, it is Representative Bryan's
thank
idea.
You. Sorry, I defer to Representative Bryan Minnis.
Bryan moves his conceptual amendment that it be a felony, see felony in the car. And then if you get out of the car and flee on foot, it becomes a misdemeanor. Now, I think that can be, we can write that, can't we, Council?
One quick question.
Yes.
Representative Minnis, how does that take, how does that grab you?
He likes it.
I think it's great.
All right, thank you. Sorry to ask, Mr. Chair.
Any further discussion of the Bryan proposal, Representative Bryan?
Would be.
It's not complicated anymore.
No, I'm asking, is this fleeing on foot only after a chase, or are you talking about a fleeing on foot under any circumstance?
Out of the car.
What's the context of Senate Bill 95?
Senate Bill 95 says
that dumps the car and runs.
Yeah, essentially it's getting out of the car and if you took it, if you didn't have the car, you'd expand it much too far, in my view.
Okay.
You know, let's leave it at that. Okay. Any further discussion of the Bryan approach? Bryan amendment. Clerk, call the roll on Bryan.
Representative Flory?
Aye.
Courtney?
Yes.
Mannix?
Aye.
Tom?
Yes.
Thalman?
Yes.
Bryan?
Aye.
Gervais?
Aye. Bryan to the full committee, or 2653 to the full committee, do pass as amended. Representative Bryan moves it. Any further discussion? Clerk, call roll.
Representative Courtney?
Yes.
Mannix?
Yes.
Thalman?
Yes.
Thalman?
No.
Bryan?
Aye.
Calori?
Aye.
Gervais?
Aye. Minnis, Bryan, which one of you loves this bill the most?
I think, why don't we let Representative Bryan take it?
Speaking of Representative Mannix, before you try to get out of the room here, Representative Mannix, 3390. Representative Mannix, 3390.
I'm Kevin Mannix, State Representative from District 32 in Central and Northeast Salem. I will try to keep this brief. I'm speaking on behalf of a constituent, but others who are similarly situated. The constituent is Dave Arnett, who brought this problem to my attention. If you'll take a look at House Bill 3390 as introduced, you'll see that it relates to the Motor Vehicles Code. There is a provision in ORS 809.260, subsection 1, which talks about situations involving juveniles, a person who is 17 years of age or younger, but not younger than 13 years of age. And it says, if that person is convicted of any offense described in this subsection or determined by a juvenile court to have done the same thing, the court in which the person is convicted shall prepare and send to the Motor Vehicles Division, et cetera, an order of denial of driving privileges for the person so convicted. The statute then describes this section applies to any crime, violation, infraction, or other offense involving the possession, use, or abuse of alcohol or controlled substances. That subsection assumes that all of those things occurred in relation to a motor vehicle, but it just so happens that it does not say so. And what has happened, and Mr. Arnett brought this to my attention, his son, and he doesn't mind me saying this, was a minor in possession of alcohol. He had some alcohol, and he was cited for it, and in juvenile court he was taken care of on that offense. Then the judge said, well, you're a minor in possession of alcohol. I am now going to refer this to the Motor Vehicles Division, and your driver's license will be denied. You're going to have a denial of driving privileges. There was nothing in that case that involved the use of a motor vehicle. He was not even a passenger in a motor vehicle. He wasn't standing next to a motor vehicle. But the judge was obligated to do so because of the word shall in the statute. The bill changes the word shall to may. Now, I have an alternative that I'll suggest to the committee. One thing that you could do is just give the court discretion. As an alternative, you could limit the application of the statute by adding the words at the end of that paragraph to read use or abuse of alcohol or controlled substances when the offense is connected with the use of a motor vehicle. The whole point was that there was an added sanction here that had, in terms of the guy's license was taken away when the offense itself had nothing to do with the abuse of his driver's license. I came up with that alternative because we don't necessarily want to tell judges that they suddenly should not be revoking driving privileges when there has been use of a motor vehicle. And I thought of this as an alternative to what legislative counsel came up with. Either way, I would urge the committee to consider this matter and amend what this law so that such an injustice does not occur in the future.
Anyway, and I remember this exact bill. Too bad Kip isn't here. We outweighed him. And I think your approach is well taken. I like your approach, however. I think that you know, you're going to have to convince the rest of the committee. I was on the losing side. I didn't like the original bill, so it's one of the nice things about coming back again is you get your shot after shot after shot. And, you know, rest assured, if this passes, there will be some representative five sessions from now trying to amend your bill, but that's the way it goes. Representative Calori.
Well, Representative Maddox, the part that you read to us that's not here about in conjunction with...
That's his proposed amendment. Essentially, yeah. he wants to only connect up the suspension when indeed the alcohol was part of an offense, and that was our original objection to the bill when it passed. It's funny that it comes back on, Representative Clark.
Well, it has wrought some harm.
I don't think I got to answer my question.
I'm sorry, no.
I mean, ask my question even. Could you read it again?
Yes. Instead of changing shall to may, leave it as shall, but add a phrase at the end, when the conduct is connected with the use of a motor vehicle.
Okay, and that's my question. What is a use of a motor vehicle? Is riding in a motor vehicle a use of a motor vehicle?
Perhaps we could say when the conduct involves a motor vehicle.
What does that mean? I mean, if I'm picnicking with my picnic basket sitting on the trunk of a motor vehicle, does that involve a motor vehicle? I mean, you see what I'm saying?
If you would like to be more precise, that would be fine with me. I was trying to come up with a phrase that would say, look, if you're at a beer, at a kegger, and you've done something illegal by being there and drinking a glass of beer, we're not going to suspend your license. There are other sanctions in the law for that, but we're going to add on, oh, by the way, we're jerking your license for that. When it had nothing to do with...
Well, let me ask, is your intention that it should apply only to the driver of a vehicle? That's my first question.